Broadcasting 2.0 for December 15th, 2023, episode 159, Proto Person. Well, ho, ho, ho. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Podcasting 2.0. We are the only boardroom in the business that has a naughty and nice list. That's right. Here's where we discuss the actual future of podcasting. The now, what's happening here? We're all about it. Podcasting 2.0, podcastindex.org. And of course, everything we discuss in the open on podcastindex.social. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country. And Alabama, the man who loves streaming video to an audience of millions. Say hello to my friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Jones.
Okay, I have a bone to pick with you.
What? What did I do?
Related to streaming video.
Yes.
You hit me with a disproportionate use of gifts.
I was hoping it would arrive before the boardroom.
I gave you some DVDs.
Well, no, hold on a second. I had forgotten that you're like the only guy in my life that I exchange gifts with. And I think, what did I give you last year? Last year I gave you a Arculus card?
The cold card.
Yeah, the cold card. And and so Dave's like, oh yeah, I sent you a Christmas present. And it's like 1st of December. I'm like, what? I haven't even gotten to my list or anything yet. I don't have all the gifts for my wife. I'm like, this.
I'm on it.
You're way on it. And so, and it's not like you didn't just give me DVDs. These were very meaningful DVDs. And you know, and a very nice card or / Amazon note to go with it. And I was really touched by it. And so I'm like, oh man, what am I going to give Dave? How did I do?
This is completely disproportionate.
It's not because I wanted to give you something that you absolutely did not need, but yet you need it.
you got me the Elgato Stream Deck.
Mark II, I hope. I hope it's the...
I don't know. I don't see a mark on it, but I'm gonna say it's Mark II. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what to do with it.
Well,
this is what all the cool kids use.
Exactly. All the cool kids I know use the Elgato Stream Deck for their streaming because you start your stream, it can rearrange your cameras, you know, you can flip your camera on and all that stuff.
Yeah, like it's good. Thank you, brother. I really,
oh, no, of course. Oh, thank you. Merry Christmas.
Such a nice gift.
Merry Christmas. Yeah. But I expect you to set it up.
Oh, I will. I will absolutely do that. I got it last night. So here's what happened. I went out on the front porch and it was like, oh, there's a box. I opened it up and I'm like, wait a second. If this is something that my wife got for me, I can't do this. And so I like, you know, I'm so like,
you put it down.
Yeah. No, I cut the lid and then I'm like peeking in there to see what color the box is and trying to be like, and so, and I'm like, wait, this is a weird box. And then I ask her, I'm like, did you get something for me? She's like, No, I don't think so. And I'm like, what is this? And you had a nice note. It was such a nice gift. Thank you, brother.
Well, no, you're more than welcome. And I'm curious. I think it should work with all kinds of different OSs, but I'm sure Windows is whatever you're running your OBS on.
Linux, baby, Ubuntu.
Oh, really? I don't know if it has Ubuntu stuff. I don't know.
Well, this is just, we were talking about this before the show. I'm building a Windows box.
Yeah. Oh, just for the Stream Deck.
And for the Rode, because you know it's crappy with Ubuntu. So anyway, this time next week I will have a fat rig.
Fat rig. Well, you can use it for all kinds of stuff. For macro, we build macros. It has a whole app store.
I'm looking at the picture and it's got so many, it's got a lot of buttons. Lots of buttons. There's an Instagram button on there. I don't know what you would do with Instagram.
I think you can change those buttons. That's the whole point. Is you can go to the Stream Deck App Store. Yeah, fat rig. Yeah, exactly.
They've got an app store.
They have an app store. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We should put a Podcast Index app on the Stream Deck App Store.
Yeah, why not? Might as well. So you could
I don't know what it would do, but
it would look cool. It's good to be in an app store. The only app store we'll be in.
Oh, yeah. I know what it would do. It would overlay a helipad.
There you go.
Boostergrams on the screen.
There you go. There you go. Now you're talking.
See, this is a business expense now.
No, that's not a business expense.
We talked about it on the show.
That is a, yeah. Yeah, yeah, okay. No, I think we already just established it was a Christmas gift.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah, no, of course, man. Thank you. I love my DVDs. And thank you for pre-ripping the MP4s to me. On my Start 9, they have like an open source video management. It's like Plex, only it's open source. I think it's called Jiggy With It or something. Jellyfish.
please don't.
No, it's Jellyfish. And so
Jellyfish.
Yeah. So I put it on there and started streaming it. The Start 9 still doesn't have what they call clean net. It's all Tor still. So I can't, it won't connect to the Roku yet, but that's coming soon with their version 4. I love that. That Start 9, best thing ever. Oh, I got to tell you this other story.
Okay.
So I'm on X, you know, formerly known as Twitter. You have to say that. And I see this box called, it's called FutureBit. Have you heard of this thing?
I'm going to say no.
Okay. So it's like a desktop cube. And supposedly it's a 10 terahash silent, this is the big thing, silent full Bitcoin node and miner.
Oh.
Made in the USA.
So let me stop you though. What, I'm not familiar with current like hash rates and that kind of thing. Where does that rank? I mean, how big is that?
To give you an idea, I have two S9s that have been running for a year now in the house. And yeah. I think together they do about 17 terahash.
So that's
600 watts. And this thing is supposed to do 10 at 300 watts. And so now you're literally into the calculation of money. So these two miners, with today's prices, they're doing anywhere between $3 and $5 a day for me. And I'm on a pool, right? I'm on the Brains pool or whatever. And right. So this thing, you can make your own pool. You could run it standalone and just hope for a lucky shot, which would be funny.
Does it connect to ocean?
I really don't know, but here's what happened. So I just liked that it's like the Apollo 2. It's their new rig. So I just hit the like button. I get a DM. Hi, I'm the CEO. I want to send you one. I'm like, sweet. Sweet.
Yeah.
Score.
The answer is yes.
Yes, yes. And I will review it for you. Don't worry. It hasn't showed up yet, but so yeah, I was feeling pretty good about that.
10 terahash at 300 watts. I mean, you're talking about half the power with, you know, with 75% of the hash rate. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, it's made good in America. They have their own ASIC. I don't know. Just I like the whole idea.
Is it like a thing that has like a management interface where you can like just plug it in and then get into a,
you can, did I lose you there? Oh boy. You went zippy zappy. Hello. Hello, Dave. Jay's not here. You guys still hear me, right? Still on the stream? Okay, so it must have been Dave. Let me disconnect, see if he reconnects. I can reconnect him. Restore. There you go. You there?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm here. What happened?
No, you were gone. You went... And then you were gone. Yeah, you were just gone.
Oh, crap.
It's okay. You were asking about if it had a management interface, and I was going to say it's a full-on Linux desktop computer with USB ports, everything, supposedly quiet, which, I mean, those S9s are in the garage. I can't have them in the house.
Oh, yeah, those things are loud. Yeah.
So it does have a management, but it's plug and play. You plug it in, turn it on, it'll start mining, but there's an interface you can, you can connect to. So it does have a, I guess it has a web server in there, but it's a full on desktop machine at the same time.
The last miners I had were, I had two, I think they may have been like S7s or something. That was right. I don't even know if that's right because it was shortly, maybe a year or two after the transition really happened from GPUs to ASICs.
Right. Right.
And so I'd used the funds that I had mined from GPUs to buy the ASICs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty, you know, it's pretty profitable at first. And then it just went down, you know, like it was slowly got outmoded. I ended up just trashing them because they were so far out of date.
Yeah, I mean, these S9s are out of date too. I mean, what is it? S19 is what people are using. These were given to me as well. You know, they're refurbished. Yeah. And I just put them in the garage. Keeps the garage nice and toasty during the winter.
I had heard that that Antminer was like
going out of business. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Is that still the case?
I have no idea. I don't know. I mean,
they were the only game in town for a while.
It's up and down, you know. You know, it all depends on the price and the difficulty, and then they overestimate or underestimate. I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't understand it. But I just think it's cool that every day I'm like, oh, there's $3. Oh, that's cool. I printed money in my garage. And at Texas prices, it's profitable. By a little bit.
Yeah, because you'll have decent power when it's not an ice storm.
That has nothing to do with our grid. That's Austin.
When it's an ice storm, you're going to pay $20,000 per, you know,
for a minute,
for a minute,
per miner,
per miner. Yes.
Well, speaking of such, I'm going to declare it right now. Are you ready? I'm going to say, and I have some standing in the podcast area, I am officially declaring this podcast winter.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
It's an officially podcast winter. I've been through one of these before. The podcast winter was a very bad podcast winter of 2008 when we were riding high. Everyone was loving it. But VC money was flowing. Everybody was happy and jacked. We had advertisers. It was woohoo, so great. And then, oh no, we got Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Oh, everybody better do video. If you're not doing video, you're going to suck. You're going to be left behind. That was the first podcast winter.
Is this similar to a dark winter?
No, because that's where everybody dies. Okay. It is similar to an AI winter, which I'm predicting for next year. This is the podcast winter. We are right in the middle of it. I've been listening to so much obfuscated lies and futzing around with language about what's really going on. I didn't clip anything, but... I mean, I was surprised. I was really surprised to hear on Show Prep, Podcast Weekly Review, James was kind of attributing twits going, you know, firings and canceling shows to Leo being old and the same voices being on the show. I'm like, what is that? That's bull crap.
Except that Steve Gibson being the example he used. That's
one of the most profitable shows. Yeah. Exactly. No, it's not because they didn't innovate. It's not because Leo doesn't understand the podcast business. Well, yeah, that is so, because I don't think he's had anything to do with the business side. I'm sure his wife has been doing that. But he's been doing video from day one. So it's not about that people want video. All their stuff is shared on YouTube. So it's not that. No, I listened to the media roundtable and it was pretty clear there. It's like podcasting is out of favor. It's just out of favor. Media buyers, or as they call chief audio officers, buyers are just not buying it because it's got a bad taste to it. And the thing that shocked me was fraud. There's a lot of cognition now about, and fraud is a big word. They called it fraud on that show, but okay, we got the downloads, but did the download really go to where we think it went? There's a lot of, well, how about capping of frequency capping? Are we getting the same people getting the same? I mean, there's all, you know what? There's just, they just don't know. And then again, okay. And they're getting better data from all these other places, and it's no longer hip and hot and happening. There's nothing but bad news, which I think also attributes for the numbers being down. Yes, a part of that is going to be Apple Podcasts. And I think No Agenda is, if you look at the OP3 stats for No Agenda, I think it's very apparent there. And No Agenda is typically a podcast that people will download, and and they'll download previous episodes, and they may or may not get to them all the time. I think we're a show that people do skip sometimes. A lot of people don't, but we're just a long show. So we went from, I'd say, 900,000 OP3 unique audience to a little under 700,000 per month. Sounds about right to me from those numbers. And I would say that was probably the overcount. The overall decline in podcasting, people are giving up. I think they're going away. Some people are just like, I think there's pod fading happening everywhere. I think people are not doing as many episodes. They're not as excited by it. There's no longer that, hey, I could be Joe Rogan. Spotify's not going to give me $100 million anymore. So it's podcast winter. And this is where we hunker down. This is where we continue to build. And until the next moment, the next serial moment comes along, which hopefully won't be in 8 years.
I did not listen to the most recent media roundtable. I haven't heard it yet, but so I didn't hear the thing you're talking about, but I had this interesting experience. So I'm now this guy, like
you've been this guy for a long time.
Okay. my daughter, she's my youngest daughter. She's 13. And, so me and her and my wife have gotten into this pattern. Each night we have dinner and we sit down and we watch Gilmore Girls.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I've never seen the whole thing. I've only seen bits and pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we've become, Gilmore Girls.
Star Hollow, baby.
Yeah. Stars Hollow. Yeah. And so I look around and I'm, the guy that plays Luke, Scott Patterson's the actor's name. And so I'm like, I wonder what else he's been in. I'm interested in looking around because I really haven't seen many of these people on other shows. So I'm like, where's he been? So I'm IMDb and this guy. And it's through searching, I found on Google, it said he's got a podcast about Gilmore Girls where he's watching through the show.
Himself.
Oh, that's funny.
That's very meta.
Yeah, it's weird because he never really saw it, I guess, in a holistic way. He just saw the part he did. And I'm like, that sounds kind of interesting. I wonder if it's in the index. So I go, it's in the index.
Of course.
I got a couple of things about this. Not just on two different topics. I'm going to actually bring this up again later. But I find this, I've subscribed to it in Castomatic. And so I'm now, number one, I'm now that guy that goes and listens to like fan podcasts of things, we're going to listen through so and so together. But the other thing is, it's an iHeartRadio podcast, and it is the same ads. It's like three. It's an IKEA ad and two other ads that I don't remember. It is the same ads five different times in the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pre-roll, and then there's three mid-rolls and a post-roll.
Mm.
And it's the identical ads every single time without fail.
Yeah.
And it's like the podcast is like, let's just say it's 45 minutes long, and there's 10 to 12 minutes of ads, and they're all the exact same ad. It's brutal.
And let me guess, they're inserted at inappropriate times.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Yes, of mm-hmm. course. Mm-hmm. Of course. It is brutal. And so this is the first, I'm used to, we're podcast nerds. So we're used to listening to podcasts mostly by people that are really good at producing podcasts.
Yeah.
They take, when I say good at it, I mean like they take a lot of care in how the product is built.
Sure.
This is really, honestly, my first experience with a podcast that somebody just a rando would listen to. Like, I like Gilmore Girls. Let me subscribe to this podcast. Mm-hmm. And that stuff, if this is indicative of the quality that that stuff it represents, it's terrible. Like the show itself is okay. I mean, like it's the content, but the production value, I mean, they're all on like, you know, AirPods mics, and they're inserting horrible dynamic ads in that are the same all over the place. It's truly garbage. And I could see how download numbers, I could see how people would get fatigued of stuff like that. If that's representative of like the larger world of podcasting that's out there that makes up all the stuff that I don't normally listen to.
Yeah, there was a lot of that. I mean, the podcast industrial complex grew up around the success of Serial and the investment from Spotify. And that's the story. Everyone knows it. And what we've been talking about for over a year, maybe a year and a half, is now kind of regular parlance, except they say, well, there was dumb money. Okay, say whatever you want. You know, there's been dumb money. There was dumb money for a decade. That's yeah. Most technology companies are built on the so-called, it was cheap money. That's what it was cheap money.
Cheap money.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, good.
Well, the podcast industrial complex came in, treated it like radio, a weird hybrid actually of radio and other internet-based advertising. I think as DR, as we call in the biz, direct response, I think that's still extremely appropriate. You're not going to get your BMW for direct response. Go buy a BMW with my code. No, that's not going to happen. But brand advertising came in, and you know, and a lot of people will disagree with me on this, but it's just not appropriate medium. It's advertising is very inappropriate, perpendicular, the opposite of what podcasting has always been about. I'm not against advertising. I'm really not. But that experience that you just discussed shows a tip. It's like disco. You know, disco was very formulaic. You know, you put your boom, clap, and then you know you get your lycra and you dance around. Then, to a degree, techno was kind of a revival of that. Although I don't want to get the techno people all mad at me, but it's formulaic. It became formulaic, and there's this idea of, well, I have numbers, so I should be making money. And we did that with blogging, okay? No, no, that's just not how it works. So well,
look at our numbers. We went from...
We went down, right?
We went, oh yeah, I mean, a lot. I mean, we went down from like 13,000
yeah, to like
5,000. So, yeah, a little under six.
Mm-hmm.
Those exact numbers on a normal... It's always been, the numbers you've always heard were... Once you get 10,000 listeners, then you monetize with ads,
yeah,
with advertising. Well, if we were a podcast that monetized, mm-hmm. we just immediately in 2 months now we're out of the game.
Yeah,
okay, we were monetizing. Now we're not.
But it's also I just don't want it. That's not what's so beautiful about podcasting, and you know the value for value concept where people support you and it works. It's been working for me. I'm hearing more and more of it. It's starting to, my God, the beautiful interview with Ainsley Costello and Just Loud, who are doing the big concerts, I should say, December 20th, December 21st to coming to a 2.0 app near you. This guy, Just Loud, and he's like a music, what's the word? Genius. He's done 9,000 songs. All he does is write and record music. And was
savant.
Yes. And he has a whole backstory. He had 10 million streams on Spotify. Didn't receive a dime. He says, I have received more money from value for value played on podcasts than anything I ever did on Spotify. And here's what was so beautiful. He says, whenever, I guess he has, you know, his management team or whatever, they'll send him a screenshot when stuff is coming in and he'll go look. And he says, and I see the Satoshis coming in. He says, I immediately get inspired and go write another song.
Oh, that's cool.
And that's the whole point. It's like you're getting inspiration. There's a feedback loop that shows you that people are out there and are listening and care enough to send you money, no matter what the amount is, it's irrelevant.
So last week and we had the Spotify take apart.
Yeah.
And I had mentioned that something that I was thinking about where, well, maybe the Spotify exclusives and that podcasting in general within Spotify was just a way to get their MAUs up into the range that would meet the numbers required for them to get the lowest rates on music royalties.
Definitely part of it. That was a good deconstruction you had there.
So I think we have confirmation of that by accident in a clip from Franco had asked me to send him this clip. And I was like, well, I didn't at the time have the clipped down version of it handy. I'm like, but I do have the whole interview, or not interview, but the whole presentation that the lady from Spotify gave me.
Oh, this was on the investor day?
Yeah. And so I was like, here, I'll just send you this. And let me find the place to start. It's like, I think it's 2 minutes. So I was listening through to it and I was like, well, there it is. There's confirmation of that. So I sent you this clip before the show. It's like at the 1 minute mark, just start there and listen to what she says.
On the same platform. Now, think about how far we've come. In just under 4 years, we've gone from having virtually no podcasts on platform to being a global leader in the market. To put this in perspective, when Anchor joined Spotify in 2019, there were fewer than 500,000 podcasts on the platform. Today, there are over 4 million, and Anchor powers more than 75% of them. And those millions of shows being published to Spotify from Anchor are often being made by first-time creators. As those creators make their content, they share it with their friends and family off-platform. And the result? On average, every new Anchor show brings 2.5 additional MAU to Spotify. And between Anchor and our other hosting platform, Megaphone, Spotify-powered shows account for 45% of all podcast consumption on platform.
On platform.
Yeah, it's Anchor. Now we know why Anchor always existed and still exists, and Spotify for Podcasts still exists. It's an
MAU play.
Only about MAUs. They don't give a crap about those shows.
No.
It was never about podcasting. It's about MAUs.
But they never really got their advertising game right, as far as I can tell.
No, they tried to, but it was too late. Hmm. They tried to with Megaphone by going into RSS heavy, but it was, I mean, it's too late. They timed it exactly at the beginning of podcast winter, which is where you don't want to be.
Oh, explain MAU. People don't
monthly. Monthly active users.
Yeah.
So that's the monthly active users is, you know, that is like the premier number that gets reported.
For tech companies,
yeah, it's their primary growth metric.
Yeah.
But specifically for Spotify, the research we talked about last week was that in 2018 when they renegotiated their royalty contracts with the music labels, negotiated a lower royalty rate in exchange for guaranteed monthly user growth, and the MAU number had to go up at a predictable rate.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah, if they didn't hit the MAU growth numbers, they had their royalty rate went back up to the previous, to what it was previously.
Yeah.
Anchor, if every Anchor show brings in an extra 2.5 MAU.
Yeah, which is yourself and your buddy and
your mom.
And half a person and your mom. Yeah.
Yeah, half of your mom. And it's just an MAU play. It was always bogus. And that's why you have, you know, people that have a supposedly Anchor podcast and they're clearly, it sounds farmy. Do you know what I mean? Like, there'd be like 1,000 new shows a day or more, and half of them are like a 10 seconds of somebody, you know, doing a fart noise.
Yeah. And then you went through most of those.
I swear to God. I mean, like, it's horrible. But then a lot of them is just like people that are clearly from it's kind of like click farms, you know, that are in country like the Philippines and Indonesia and these places where they run these sweatshop click farms. a lot of the anchor stuff sounded farmy to me. I'm not saying that they did it, but it's like, it had that weird vibe to it where you're like, this doesn't even make sense. Why did anybody even bother?
Well, if the way the way Spotify works with music, with purchasing fake streams, getting on a certain playlist, paying for that, if that's any indication, I'm sure that all of the above is true.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing is just, it's a crap show. It really is. And I, you know, whatever motivated us, we know what the surface reasons were, but we're on a mission from God, Dave. Bring out the book.
The good book.
We started this at the right time. And look at the results. Well, the podcast industrial complex winter, while that has set in, we have every single app has done an update in the past couple of weeks, and good updates.
Good ones. Yeah, good ones.
I'm blown away by Podcast Guru, the stuff Mitch is doing with Podverse, the Fountain version 1, which I think is in beta still, is phenomenally improved. I mean, the speed, the interface, you know, just there's a lot of thought went into that. Sam Sethi launched today, I think, and rebranded to True Fans, which I think is sexy.
I like that name.
I like True Fans. TrueFans.fm. And he's got a whole, I mean, his vision, which is clear to me, is very different from what any other podcast app is doing. I love that. I think that it'll probably really come to life with this Ainsley Costello Just Loud show, which is going to be on True Fans, Podverse, Podcast Guru.
I have a breakdown. Do you want the breakdown?
Yes, please. Cause I love watching how everyone came together. Dovidas at rssblue.com, you know, he's doing the RSS feed and everyone's been testing. It's like my heart is full and warm from just watching all this. A little sticky, but it's,
that's the eggnog.
I'm sorry.
I tuned in to the 1 o'clock PM Central Time test.
Now, was this Booberry on site as well? Was he a part of this? Because he's in this too. I mean, there's all kinds of people in this.
I don't know if he was on site or not. Booberry, okay. Were you on site? Let us know.
Yeah.
We did the Ainsley Costello live test yesterday, we did. I was not part of it, but I was testing it, and Podverse 5x5. Work like a champ.
Yeah. And now that's on the web or the app? The web, I guess.
The web. I did not test on device for Podverse. CurioCaster, also 5x5. Podcast Guru, beautiful. Perfect. PodFans, I could not. And I think Sam said this. He said he had work to do. It's like it wanted to play and it kept trying to go, but it just wasn't working.
Sounds like a CORS or DNS issue.
Possible.
It's always what it is.
So out of the four video apps the four 2.0 apps that we know support video, the three of the four, beautiful, ready to go. I'm sure that Sam will get True Fans up and running. Oh, yeah. But I mean, like it was a fun experience. I mean, it was really cool to see.
Now, were you able to boost as well? Did you check all that stuff or just the video?
I didn't try to boost at the time because, I know CurioCaster was streaming auto. It was streaming per minute.
Mm-hmm.
But I did not try to boost through any of the Albi-backed stuff because I guess we have to talk about the Albi-pocalypse.
Yes, of course we have to talk about that. Yes.
That was happening at that time, and I was like, okay, I just want to see if the video works. So that's all I was really focusing on at the moment. But I mean, like, it was a great experience to be able to like pop open Podcast Guru on my phone, or the other apps on the web, and I'm just watching them have a live jam session. It was so cool, man!
Wow. Yeah.
It was rad.
So, you know, just looking at some of the, I'm going to another thing here. So I was messing around with Podcast Guru, and I come across a feed, you know, this Vigilante TV that kind of, I think we talked about that the other day. Like, these guys are doing all kinds of full on feeds with everything in there. They've got value blocks. They've got everything. And I find David Icke. Now, of course, everyone can roll your eyes about David Icke.
Lizard
man. But he has in there alternate enclosure, which is HLS video, which is clearly streaming with value blocks and everything. And on Podcast Guru, it just works.
Really?
Yes. With the alternate enclosure, I'm like, what? I mean, what is going on here? The stuff is moving fast. This is interesting.
This is on the Vigilante.tv thing.
Well, in the podcast index, it's just David Icke. There seems to be three duplicate feeds of the same thing. Which, okay.
Here I see it.
It would start off with the same video. I'm like, what is this? And the progress bar wasn't moving properly. And then I start looking into it, but oh, this is streaming.
Yeah. And they got Potterroll in here.
Yeah. Everything's in there. And you know, for a guy like David Icke, who, you know, inherently is not an advertising friendly guy. Value for value is perfect. Perfect.
I think I talked to Alex and he said that the guys running Hive Tube, which is what Vigilante is.
Okay.
He said that they took his
plug-in.
Forked it. Yeah. Forked it off and started, you know, doing their own things. I mean, they pretty much forked off of PeerTube. They've got all, you know, they're clearly running his code because it's got the 2.0 feeds and all that
in
there.
Right. Dovidas says boosting live worked on all apps Dave mentioned, and Podverse video live stream worked on mobile too. All right. Nice. I mean, I'm getting a couple $100 in my wallets and I'm going to run all five of them at the same time and boost everybody the same. So Merry Christmas, everybody. You bet.
The sat cannon. You got the sat cannon.
Yeah. Pew, 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 pew.
Yeah. That's a good idea. Yeah. Exactly. I may load up a fat wallet and do it too. That I'm looking forward to it. So it's the 20th, I think.
20. There's two shows, the 20th and the 21st. Okay. I think AinsleyCostello.com. Or justloudworld.com has all the info. Just one other thing I wanted to mention about, because I was listening to the New Media Show, and here's the funny thing. It was about advertising and about stats and numbers and, you know, how tricky it is. I would say if I had an advertising based show that I had to show numbers to an advertiser, I would hands down run that through Blueberry. I believe Todd Cochran has the best, most honest, most fair numbers in the world. Now,
I agree.
I mean, I know the work he's done on that, but I'm also hearing about how much money he spends, you know, to make sure that, you know, he gets an updated scam list, and there's all these different things that he has to, it's like a moving target. It's whack-a-mole, and he spends a lot of money, time, and energy on it. Meanwhile, I probably sent him $20, just me, in boostograms, you know, just to hear my name on the show, of course.
Of course, yes.
But then this thing came up about OP3, and I just wanted to, because I was listening to Rob, who says, well, you know, there's this ideology of transparency. I'm like, what is this ideology crap? It's not idea. So I just want to explain my feelings about this. I mean, I think the IAB is a scam. And not that their numbers are a scam, but everyone's numbers are different. It's a you know, it's a recommended certification. It's not like a centralized Nielsen. The reason why television ad rates are what they are, one is because there's artificial supply
scarcity.
Thank you. Because it's on a 24-hour clock instead of, you know, how much inventory do you want? But it's also one central approved source. And I think that what Spurlock has done with OP3 is really the future for any type of download based system. Because if everyone starts contributing to it and we all make it open, which is not an ideology, it's like, I want to help people. I put all my numbers are up there and I don't have an advertising play and it doesn't, I don't look at it either. I really don't care that much because I just need to know if I can pay the rent. That's basically the numbers I look at. How much do we do? And if not, I tell the audience, you know, we need more. Otherwise I can't do this anymore.
Right.
And so this became this whole thing, and I think there's a cultural thing going on here, but I just want to make sure that's out because I don't know what it's like in Australia, but in America, if you tell a man you're chicken and you make chicken noises, you might get shot.
What?
Yeah, Critlin was going on and on at Todd about pork, 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 chicken. Don't want to put your numbers out there. Pork, pork, pork. I'm like, that.
Yella?
That's not in America. That's like slapping the glove in someone's face in person. You know, that may not be culturally the same thing.
The dual challenge is,
yeah. And I was hurting for Todd. I'm like, wow, man, that's really harsh. Todd doesn't have to show his number. No one has to do anything. But also, it's like, come on. It's like, let's just calm down a second. I've never even lashed out at Critlin that hard. But I don't think he realizes that in America, that's culturally, you know how the C word in America doesn't mean the same thing in the UK?
Yeah.
Like, so it's like, that
a lot different.
Yeah, it's that level different, probably. So,
yeah,
I just need to get it off my chest. I'm listening to it. I'm like, oh my God, this is really horrible.
It's funny. So you mentioned blue. So Todd posted in the chat just a minute ago that they're seeing programmatic advertising CPMs between $6 and $14, depending on what it is. You know, you could say that if you stick it out, if you are an advertising supported show and you stick it out through the dark, through the dark days of the podcast winter, I guess the silver lining is the CPMs probably would come up a bit because you're going to have just less competition. The more podcasts get in the game, it drives the CPMs down to zero.
So. It's just the whole idea is so antithetical to the love that you get from a podcast. Like, I'm going to interrupt the podcast. I'm going to make you listen to this. Whereas, I'd prefer to... Even if it's Ben Shapiro going gold, it's all right. I mean, I can handle that, but it's like, please listen to the ads. Please click on our, go to our advertisers' websites. No, I mean, it's so much easier to ask for value to be returned. And I think,
that's what's wrong with all these discussions is that they all get talked about just like I just did this.
Yeah.
Without thinking about it, all of these discussions, you start talking about advertising and all this kind of stuff as in a vacuum, as if it's a math problem.
Right.
And you completely disregard the listener experience and all that stuff. And I did that 15 minutes after I just finished talking about this Gilmore Girls podcast that drove me crazy with the ads. Okay. It's like, well, okay, CPMs and blah, 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 and listener counts and all. It's like, it's so easy to get enticed into the way of thinking that is just this nothing but metrics.
Yeah.
Where you're just pushing charts around all day and you're thinking in metrics and numbers and you completely forget that the on the ground experience of listening to some of these shows is complete garbage.
And I have the same feeling about all the AI stuff, it's like, okay, yeah, but we're going to make podcasting easier. It'll be simpler. I've heard whole conversations about, well, we need to make the gear has to auto configure itself. sometimes you got to learn something. You got to learn something. And if you learn something, then you can get good at it. If you put the time in, you know, this, it's not like a magic money machine. That's how it's treated. That's how things on the internet are always treated that way. And at the end of the day, and I said it, you're working your tail off for some Silicon Valley company who's giving you a little pittance at the end of the ride. You are building their business. Every tweet you send, every YouTube video you upload, you're doing it for Google. Maybe they'll give you something. And it's,
they won't.
And no, they probably won't. You know, and that when we started, I wish I could find one of my old daily source code openers, because it was a British BBC guy who had interviewed me. He's still alive, I think. He was pretty old then, and it starts like something is happening here, and then you know something. There's something going on. People with anything or nothing to say. Can do this without gatekeepers. And that's really what it was. When we first started off, it was, hey, I can do this. I don't need a transmitter. Transmitters, we don't need no strength. It was never, I can make money just by putting up an MP3 and getting some downloads. No, it was never that. It was never that. And so this whole so-called industry, which still after 20 years can't agree on their measurements, it's not an industry then. 20 years.
Yeah, I still love that 20 years on, downloads can evaporate 20% over, you know, overnight. And we're like, what?
Yeah. What?
Yeah. What? Like, oh, we got this stuff nailed down. It's fine. And it's like, whoosh.
Yeah.
Let's see. You know, what's weird is in this HiveTube feed, they have a tag in here called podcast colon search.
Oh,
that's not a real tag.
That's not a real tag.
No.
Interesting.
They're winging it.
Sam Sethi. Sam Sethi just every idea. Oh, I did that.
Yeah. Hey Sam, do you know that they have a tag you don't have?
Yeah, you better put your search tag words in there.
Yeah. Yeah, fight, go.
So what was interesting is that Sam put in the alternate enclosure. And I guess that it's a hack, I guess. And it was based upon, you know, kind of a flippant remark we made about embedding a YouTube video as an enclosure.
Mm-hmm.
And so truefans.fm has that working. I saw Mitch was working on some stuff and there was some back and forth. Do you know have we decided if this is even possible? I mean, Alex Gates was very clear that, you know, there's a way you can access the HLS stream or something, but the apps would have to do some decoding. I mean, have we determined if this is a thing or not?
I could have sworn that I saw somebody saying that it worked, but I don't remember who or what or anything like that. I mean, it's got to be easy to test, you know? I mean, like, it just has to be because the HLS streams are supported like in Podverse and PodFans and
Podcast Guru supports it clearly. Yeah.
And CurioCaster.
Right. But the thinking was that that wouldn't be possible. YouTube wouldn't let that happen. I'm just wondering if we'd figured that out, because I'd love to try it. I mean, I know that Stephen B has threatened to put alternate enclosures into Sovereign feeds, of course. Mm-hmm. Love that guy.
Yeah. I think that's there's this tension between the stuff that Sam is doing and the hosting companies.
No, I know that. I understand why. I get it. But if I want to put a PDF into my enclosure, that's valid.
Mm-hmm.
As long as I have the MIME type in there.
Yeah, it's just the alternate enclosure. I mean, that's what it's for.
Yeah, exactly. It's for alternate stuff.
I think the idea is to write, you know, if Silicon Valley is going to, if they're going to take everything from you and give you nothing, well then, you know, let's ride the free bandwidth.
Let's take it from, alternate enclosures is indeed in Sovereign feeds.
Well, could you, here's the good one. Could you,
check it out. I can even, so I can add the source URI and then type length, bitrate, height, language, REL, codecs, default, all kinds of stuff is in here.
When did Steven do that? When does he do all this stuff?
Right after he puts the kids to bed.
While he's putting the kids to bed.
Yeah. Oh, cool. So I can mess around with that now.
Because I wonder if you could do an unlisted YouTube video.
Oh.
And then just grab the HLS out of that.
Yeah.
I just need to know
how to quote unquote grab the HLS.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I would assume that something like YouTube DLC, you know, like that command.
Right, right. You can pick it up from there.
I bet you that shows you. Well, let me try. Let's see. Let me see if they've got a. Do I have YouTube DLC? YouTube DLC. I do not. I would, and I'm not going to install it right now because that would crash my computer.
We got 25,000 sats from Todd Cochran.
Oh,
he says, way behind on episodes after being away for 3 weeks on a brain break. Oh, man. Is it okay? Were you able to put it back together?
Did he break his brain?
The new hack to use YouTube video annoyed me, and it still does a bit. Oh, I like this. Being Blueberry has supported True Video Podcast since the beginning, fully podcasting to enabled. Getting to point this is the only function I can get behind in Alt Enclosure support, which we can position as a worthwhile feature. That said, once Dave gets our namespace proposal moved forward, we can kill two birds with one stone. I understand why you're annoyed by that, Todd. I get that. I do.
But look at it this way, though. Video, Blueberry is one of the only hosting companies that support video as an option, and it costs a lot more money because of the bandwidth requirements. This way, you keep a customer with, and they can put in their own alternate video stream, perhaps using YouTube, HLS. They're going to go do it themselves. But you keep the customer because, and they don't bail to YouTube or some other video platform, and but they don't. It doesn't cost them any extra.
Yeah, I'm not even going to get into that argument. I'm not. What is the proposal that he's talking about? This is the alternate feed proposal.
Alternate feed. Yeah.
Alternate feed. I think that's fine too.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The discussion we have. We got namespace stuff to talk about.
You want to fire it up?
Hit it.
And now it's time for some hot namespace talk. Oh,
so hot. It's heating up the podcast winter. Yeah.
Something makes me want like a Christmas version of hot namespace talk.
Oh, okay. You know, like, hold on a second. I think we can do this for
like
you.
With like sleigh bells or something.
Let me see. Why don't we try this again? Let's see if we can do this. No, that's not it. No, that's not even close. No. Okay. Let's try it again.
And now it's time for some hot namespace talk.
There you go. Christmas namespace talk. Yeah. All right. Because
maybe you want, maybe you have an eggnog with some Lagavulin in it.
Lagavulin. Wow. That's very insulting to the Lagavulin, but okay. Okay. We'll let you go.
A Macallan 18. Oh, yes.
It gets better.
Fireplace.
It gets better. Macallan 18.
And you're like, hey, sweetheart, can we talk about
namespace?
The lightning address attribute on the value tag?
Yeah. Oh, honey, I'm so hot for you right now.
And she says, I want a divorce.
Right. Right away.
Mm-hmm. That is something that we need to talk about. So the lightning address thing in the value. So we talked about this briefly a few weeks ago. Oscar and the Albi guys
wanted it.
Want a new attribute on the value recipient tag that would take a Lightning, a key send address.
Right.
So that you could say, like, you know, dave@getalbi.com instead of the node ID, which is fine. The sticking point, though, has been two things. What do you call it? I think we've got that settled. But then
what do we call it? What is the name?
It's the attribute's just going to be called keysend.
Lightning address thingy?
It's a little wordy.
Okay.
Little wordy.
Keysend. Yes.
We're going to go with, yeah, keysend. So the idea here would be that you have instead of a type of node, you have a type of keysend, and that unlocks a keysend attribute, which then has the keysend address in it, like mm-hmm. dave@getalbi.com. Mm-hmm. That's fine, except for a couple of things. Is this then an exclusive thing? Does that mean that now all that you have in the value recipient tag is just the keysend attribute with the keysend address in it? Or do you also still retain the node ID, the address attribute with the node ID in it also, and then you just have a situation where the address is tried first? You know, you'd like, then you have both, but you have a priority, one over the other. That's one thing that we don't know yet, that that Michael from Wavelake brought up. And then the other thing is, where does the resolution happen? So the two people bringing this up are Oscar from Fountain and the guys from Albi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, this is a good question. Where uh-huh. does the resolution happen? Because in my case, that means I got to set up a server. I got to have a cert. I got to do all kinds of stuff.
No. This, I'm talking about client-side resolution.
Oh, how do they resolve it? Where do they resolve it? At what point?
Right. So in this case, Castomatic has to
do a lookup,
send you splits. Do they have to look up the address before they send you the split so that they can get the correct node IDs to send in the Albi API calls? Or can Franco just provide the address in the Albi API call and Albi does the lookup on their side?
Ooh, well, that sounds dangerous, because now you have something that is specific to the wallet and the wallet's API instead of something universal that everybody can just implement and say, okay, but I have to look this up.
Right.
Because, so let's put it this way. If it's wallet side and I decided for whatever reason I wanted to do adam@curry.com, I would have to provide that somehow.
Right.
It's easier for me to do it, even though a pain in the ass, and I won't do it. It would be easier for me to set up a reverse proxy on my Start9 and have a well-known address type file there that just, you know, serves it up, instead of trying to figure out how to bake that into my wallet.
I agree. And so that's the issue. I don't think we can move forward until we have
an answer.
Until we have an answer to that question, because that's the prioritization question. I think we can plow ahead and come up with something on that that makes sense.
Right.
But the issue of where it gets resolved, if
I'm sorry, could you explain the prioritization one more time, just so I understand what's happening there?
Well, that was just an issue of like, do we keep? So in one, so with a value, let's say you have a value recipient, and it's got a. And the value recipient is of type keysend instead of type node, then now do you still keep the node address attribute in there and also have a keysend address, and you just say, okay, hey, clients, try keysend address first. If that fails, then fall back to trying the node ID.
Got it.
That's a little, it can get a little squirrely there.
Well,
and
hold on a second. Try the keysend address first, so there would be a fail basically on my blocks. First, there would be a fail. So why are we giving that priority? Am I misunderstanding?
No, Yeah, you're misunderstanding. So the value, this is only if the value recipient type is equal to key send. If it remains, if your value recipient type is node, like it's always been, then this is not an issue because the key send address attribute is not even going to be in the tag.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah. But I was hoping to wrap this up quickly, but that issue of something like Castomatic potentially having to resolve multiple addresses before they can even do the lookups, like that's a showstopper, man. And I think if Albi or whoever is, you know, whichever APIs are providing the payment services, if they can put the, if they want this, I feel like they should put it into their API to allow this to be resolved on their end. Because it's such a heavy lift for a client to have to send potentially dozens of HTTP requests before they can start the payment. Yes, caching and all that stuff, but you're talking about a lot of client side state to have to handle.
But so when you have an app that is just used to sending a key send payment, mm-hmm. what does the app developer have to change now? Do they have to talk to the Albi API?
Well, if they, so
the that way kind of breaks the whole Lightning idea, doesn't it?
Well, the way it would ideally work is if you have, if they're going through and making a payment to a value recipient who has a type of node, a type of
key send,
mm-hmm. then they would have they'd grab the address out of there and just give it to the Albi API and say, here's how much to send and you're done.
Stephen Crater weighs in and we take this advice from him seriously.
Yes.
The app should look up the well-known and use the node info in the return JSON data. No special API. That's what he says.
Use the node info in the return JSON data. The apps themselves, the client.
Yeah. Now they could cache. They could cache, but it is extra work.
Well, see, yeah, because then you got state. You know, I mean, then you got to deal. Then you got to deal with one of the two hardest things in, you know, in programming, cache and validation. When you have, you know, I don't know. It just seems like the server side to me, the API side is the right place to do this. I mean, it's like asking, you know, it's like saying, okay, well, I'm getting all the stuff, all of my feed data from the Podcast Index API. But whenever I see a domain name, I'm going to have to resolve that myself and only ask the Podcast Index API for IP addresses.
Right. But now we're taking the beauty of the Lightning Network out of the equation almost. And you're just doing an API call to a wallet.
But that's what they're doing already, though. Like with Castomatic and Podverse, they're not doing direct communication with the Lightning Network. They're using Albi as their...
Right, but in that case, but now we're talking that you have Albi as send and then Albi as receive. So now the sending wallet, let's just say that Castomatic was using the Foobar wallet, which just mm-hmm. knows how to send key send. Okay. Now, that wallet now has to change? The way it sends?
I don't think so. No, because Albi in this instance, Albi would be doing the resolution. Albi would be handling node IDs the way it always did under the covers.
Right, but that's
initially resolve it.
But that's this okay. But now,
so take the example of you have your Umbral or your Start 9 attached to your Albi account.
Yeah, but let's say I don't.
Okay,
let's just say I don't to make because. Because yeah, now the sending and the receiving is being done on the Albi wallet, so it's really just an API call. It's not even a Lightning payment. You see what I'm saying?
You're talking about from an Albi to an Albi.
I'm talking about.
This is confusing.
Well, and I think in this case it's good that I'm stupid because I can ask the dumb question. No, so let's say I'm going from an Albi wallet to a Fountain wallet. There you go.
Okay.
How does that work in this scenario with looking up on the API?
Okay. So on Fountain, let's say you have a podcast that is hosted. Let's say a podcast is hosted at rss.com and the podcaster claimed it on Fountain.
Yeah.
And added their node information, which in this case would be something like dave@fountain.fm.
Right.
Added their address to their feed. That gets sent to Podcast Index API. Now Podverse goes to send a payment to that podcaster. They see the address, make a request to Albie's API to send 1,000 sats to dave@fountain.fm. Albie resolves that fountain.fm into the long hex string of the node ID, the Lightning node ID that it resolves to, then sends the key send payment.
How is it resolving it?
Using the dot well known.
So the wallet does the resolution.
The API making the payment would do the resolution. If it's going through an API. So in this regard, Podverse never does anything itself. It always uses Albie.
Right.
And so I'm saying that if Albie wants this functionality, they should provide the address resolution services so the clients okay. don't have to do anything different.
So let's say there's a podcast app, and I'm just imagining something crazy. Let's say that I want to send this payment from my own Start9 node. That's my wallet, which is technically not, I don't think that's a thing, except through Guilherme's, what's it called?
The Chrome extension?
PodStation.
PodStation, yeah.
PodStation, I can connect to my own node. Now, how does it work?
In that situation, since there is no API, intermediary API, PodStation would have to do the resolution.
Ah, that's where I have a problem.
Okay.
Because now PodStation has to talk to an API somewhere. So PodStation has to upgrade.
Well, he does have to make a change, but it wouldn't be talking to an API. He would just do an address resolution lookup, which is just an HTTP request. Like his example, maybe is not a great one because it's mostly a desktop app and a browser extension, and the speeds and everything are probably not going to be a very big deal. It's a bigger deal when you have something like CurioCaster or, and let's say AntennaPod, if they did value for value payments where they have no server, they have no infrastructure. It's really just all client side. And that, you really don't want to have to do all those HTTP calls on a mobile app just in order to get yourself set up to do an API call, just do it to send right. keys.
I think that maybe I'm confusing or conflating issues. The reason why I'm bringing this up is I'm a staunch supporter of non-custodial wallets, non-custodial systems. And, you know, we're already seeing the groaning and creaking. And I think we all got a slight, like a mini heart attack when Albie stopped. Now it's all going to be okay. But when Albie said, oh, no new accounts.
Right.
I think we should always, always, always keep in mind a decentralized world, especially when it comes to the payments. And we've now centralized ourselves into a box. I feel that I would like to use Podverse on my own node. I can't, but I would like to. I think we need to start thinking about that as we make these changes.
Yeah. Well, this is the big issue. I mean, like once you talk about anything, this is not just a cryptocurrency issue. It's not just a Bitcoin issue.
I know.
It's true for everything. I mean, like anytime you bring in payment infrastructure into anything, now you have to think about what API are you going to use? And are you going to go try to do it very direct? Or are you going to try to use like a layered API like Stripe, mm-hmm. or Plaid or something like that? I mean, these are sort of universal questions when it comes to this type of thing. And, you know, the Albie thing, yeah, you're right. It gave everybody a heart attack because it's like, well, they've been growing, clearly, you know, I'm trying to get them on the show and I will soon. They couldn't make it this week, but, you know, clearly they've grown way faster than they could handle.
Mm-hmm. So well, also, if you look at the Telegram group, I've seen a lot of Chinese people, and I'm not going to be racist, but I'm going to be for a second. When you see the Chinese showing up, you're like, oh man, I would be worried myself. Like, okay. Or is it Korean? Or is it, you know, is it North Korean, South Korean? What are these guys wanting? There's people building bots off of their services, and there's all kinds of stuff going on. Once I dived into what's going on over there, I mean, it's one thing to have Podcasting 2.0 API. I'm not mm-hmm. sure even how much, the taxing amount of the Noster stuff. I have no idea. But I can see there's a lot of people doing stuff on their API that would have me freaked out.
Well, I think you're right. I think that's probably, it very much could be a spam defense measure.
I would think so. Well, the million sats limit was the obvious canary in the coal mine there. Like, hey guys, our mission is we're just a small provider for small day-to-day payments. Makes total sense.
Right.
But now there's a whole bunch of things going on at the same time. And all I'm saying is, and I have no business being able to really give an opinion about this about the API stuff and who does what, other than I would like to see at all times we always think about sovereignty.
Yeah, so, I agree.
And this has kind of been bugging me for a long time, but I would really like to just use, it's handy to have Albie. And now Albie is also my login for five things, you know, which creeps me out because if Albie goes down, I can't get into, you know, I can't get into stuff, you know, like SplitKit. I won't be able to use it. Who knows what will happen? So I just want to make sure that we keep the ultimate future, which we'll have to. I can guarantee you there will be a day when we will need to have a sovereign self-hosted, I think is the term, but your own non-custodial wallet capability for this. I can see it coming.
Probably, yeah. You're probably right.
So I don't, this little like heart shock we got the other day, I can only imagine.
Well, you know, I think on a long enough time scale, nobody can say how long, but I think on enough of a time scale, these feel like growing pains of that are natural.
Oh, look at the quality of the problem. I mean, these are great problems to have. I'm excited about that.
Yeah. So you're going to have the issue here is that Lightning is trying to do something in general that is very, that I don't want to say it's, well, I can't say it's trying to do something that's new. Lightning is providing small, like microtransaction level liquidity in a way that is, in a way that's maintains some level of sovereignty that is peer to peer. That is very difficult to do on scale with Bitcoin, because that's not how Bitcoin was built. It wasn't built for the microtransaction stuff. So it's trying to do something new, and this is this was a predictable growing pain because you've got, like, you can see where we are. And let me try to be more clear. I know I'm being hard to understand here, but like you can see, like, think about where we were, everybody running their own node, like LND, Sphinx, Voltage,
right,
whatever.
Right.
Then you have LNPay, which is sort of next step, you know, first step of evolution there. Albi, which is next step of evolution. Project out into the future, and you have something green light esque that is sovereign, that is non-custodial, but still is portable.
Right.
We're trying to get from where we are now to where, to that thing. And like, that's what the next X amount of time is going to be. Like, we're getting there, but it's just a hard transition to make. And like, look at what Alex had to do with No Agenda Tube. I mean, No Agenda Tube, he had to shut down signups on that because of spam signups. Mm-hmm. You can only imagine what the spam volume and huckster volume is when you're talking about a payment platform. Now it's just off the chart, you know. So that it surprises me that they didn't run into this problem sooner. When you get to that day where your spam signup volume is, it's a trickle and a trickle and then a flood.
Right.
And when that day hits, it's heartburn, and you really don't know what else to do other than just like stop signups and say, you've got to email me so we can vet you with a human being.
Yeah.
But I feel like we're, and this is why I want to get them on the show so we can talk about, like, get an idea what the future plans are. And they've talked, you know, they talked about it on Office Hours the other day. It sounds like their future plans are exactly what we're thinking they probably are, but they just had this, like, you know, they had some event that happened where they were like, oh crap.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, it's still the best solution for 2.0 apps.
There's
nothing else out there,
right? But as we move forward, so we come back to the original question: do we have who does the lookup and how is that handled?
I don't see how we can move forward with a proposal that where the lookups have to happen client side. Let me take that back. That was the wrong way to say that. I don't see how we move forward until we have Albi tell, and I've asked them this in the discussion thread, if Albi can provide the lookup for us. I think that needs to be, like I said, it's like expecting the podcast index API to only deal with IP addresses, and all the DNS host names have to be resolved before you send a request.
Right.
It just doesn't seem like it's a mismatch. And Alex is right. You know, he said the wallet providers can communicate with the feed hosts when the Lightning info changes, like the pub key. That's completely the same. It doesn't, that's for self-hosted feeds, like PowerPress feeds and those kinds of things, where you had this distributed mass of people who may have the wrong node ID listed. That's a problem, you know, and I think that's what prompted Oscar to bring this up, is because they've been having to track down podcasters one at a time and have them manually change their feeds.
Right.
But, you know, or there could be some, you know, maybe there's some proposal for a redirect. You know, I don't know, where it's like a node ID to node ID redirect. I don't know. I just feel like, to get, if they want this, and they meaning that, you know, Albi and Fountain. Mm-hmm. Fountain's already got it handled because their API internally, they do all these lookups.
Right.
Like, you know, it's all internal to them. So you don't have to, it's not going to be a burden on them, but it is going to be a burden on the other 2.0 apps if they have to do this themselves. And I think if Albie can come back to that, to the discussion and say, oh yeah, we'll change our API. We'll add an extra tweak to it so that you can send a key send address instead of a Lightning node address. That, I think that would solve the whole thing. We'll just go ahead and make that change and be done with it.
Okay. Well, just balls, in, them, balls really. In their court then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. They're having me. And I see Brooklyn 112 as your resident conspiracy therapist. It's okay, brother. Albie is going through a natural progression. See, Brooklyn's like, maybe the music spooked him. No, don't. I don't think you need to look too far into this.
Yeah, I think you're right. When same thing happened with Noster, all of a sudden, you know, starts getting blasted with Chinese spam.
Yeah.
Once that stuff starts, man, I mean, it's such a bad day. It's just such crap.
And, you know, and exactly. And now that there's the, you know, I hear Sam Sethi complaining about the spamvertising and he doesn't have a filter on Albie. These are all the things those Albie right. guys are looking at. I mean, yeah. I mean, spamvertising. Yeah, maybe cute, but I can see all the problems with that. Ugh.
There's a cost to every transaction.
Everything. Yeah. Yeah.
And the other thing in the namespace was deprecation. So I've split off. There's now a deprecation proposals section in the discussion forum. So if any talk about deprecating a tag or getting rid of an attribute or anything like that, let's move it all over there.
This is James's get it out of the namespace part. Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll talk about all that. I'm cool with having a formal deprecation section. That way we can talk about it. Cause I'm fine with deprecating things, but we need to, we'll probably segregate that off into its own thing so that we can, deprecation is Flame War City.
Yeah, that belongs in its own little section of the city.
Yeah, because everybody's going to get pissed at each other. Let's just kind of isolate it.
Let me read off a couple of, we got a lot of people responding through Boostergrams. Okay. So we don't even have to start the segment here, but let me just run down the list. See Brooklyn 112 with, nice row of ducks, brother. 22,222. Let's keep this going, boys. Okay, good. So the conspiracy therapy worked. Ned, 30,000 sats. Merry Xmas movie house. I mean, boardroom. there's Steven with 1,000 sats. We just read that one. Sam Sethi's been boosting all along, 10,000 sats. If hosts would support alternate enclosure and video, then true fans would not have to offer this feature. We could just read it from the RSS feed. Well, yes. Sam likes doing things backwards. Blueberry supports video podcasting, but not altered enclosure. Does any host support altered enclosure? Ooh. Except Sovereign Fees has it now.
Does PowerPress have it?
Well, see, what Sam is doing is interesting. I'm not sure I agree with this method, but it's fine by me. I what I've liked is we come up with an idea and then it goes typically into the podcasting 2.0 feed first because Stephen Bell is just crazy and he builds everything. And then from there, tags flow out and stuff starts to happen. Now, the alternate enclosure is already a tag, I believe. Has it been a tag or is it not an official tag yet?
No, it's in there. It's been in there. Yep.
So Sam likes to give people these features before they're in the feeds.
Yes.
Which is a way to do it.
PeerTube supports alternate enclosure.
Right.
As a hosting platform.
So.
And Disktopia does.
So, but I can tell you right now, Blueberry's never going to do alternate enclosure. So just forget it. Todd doesn't want to do it. That's his prerogative.
No, he will. He will.
No, he won't. No, he won't. It's his own business reasons.
We'll wear him down. We'll wear him down on 2.0.
I'm not going to wear him down. I'm not going to be a part of that.
I'll take the bait.
I mean, I'm publishing. I'm going to start publishing alternate enclosures for sure.
I'm going to send him Christmas presents. Alternate enclosure.
Send him a Stream Deck. It works wonders.
No, I'm not giving up my Stream Deck.
Well, this is weird because typically he's the delimiter, but we got 10,000 sats from CSB just 15 minutes ago. Merry Podcastmas, Podcasting 2.0, yo, CSB. We got another Sam Sethi, 10,000 sats. It's not a video hack. It's using YouTube as a free host. Next week, we will offer free video hosting on True Fans. So we will host directly before IPFS. Well, I will say the YouTube stuff is much easier on a web app than it is in a native app.
For sure. Yeah.
Because you can just do an iframe or whatever, or just embed it, I guess, the embedded tag.
Look, Todd said in the chat, for YouTube piece, maybe alternate enclosure. See, he's already cracking.
Wow. Take the Stream Deck back.
The cracks are already forming. He's a pushover. I got this.
That was easy. Oh, man.
An alley-oop. You ooped it to me, and I dunked it.
Nothing but net. Yeah. Oystein Berger, 1111. Thank you, Oystein. Merry Christmas to you. Phantom Power. That's from the Phantom Power Hour. 1,000 sats. Dovidas is the bee's knees. Indeed. And there's Dovidas with 1,000 sats with his, he says that video worked on all of the apps. 7,500 from Dovidas. Downloads are really the best podcast metric. According to OP3, Podcasting 2.0 has a massive fan base in Nepal. That's right.
We're huge in Nepal. At base camp. Everybody listens to us at base camp before they climb K2.
That's right. We need that on a t-shirt. We're big in Nepal.
Yeah, I think we are literally big in Nepal. Aren't Nepalese, aren't they very small people?
10,000 sats from Sam again. Evening from the UK. True Fans is now open to all fans and live. Congratulations on the launch, Sam. We've been waiting for this for a long time. I know you have for sure. So we love that, man. Another 1,000 sats from Phantom Power. What's up, fellas? Happy Friday. Then we have... okay. This is Todd with 10,000 sats. This is his analysis of numbers. Very simple on why most host stats are down. It's largely tied to two things: those that count a download after 60 seconds of media delivered, and the window of time one looks at to qualify a download. Remember, the IAB spec and those certified only have to meet the guidelines and not exceed the guidelines. Tie that to Apple 17 changes to Apple Podcast was a recipe for decline to those trying to extract maximum downloads. Yeah. Which means the whole thing is scammy. The whole industry is scammy. Yeah. I gotcha. We understand that. Meet us 5,000 sats. Is it too late to set up a boardroom Secret Santa gift exchange? Oh, no, we'll have to do that for next year. I think.
Yeah.
I think next year. Next year. We'll have
Dirty
to
Santa.
Do that. Yeah. Next year. Then we have the 25,000 from Saz, sats from Todd that I mentioned. And I think, Linkin Park Rules, 10,000 sats. Have you guys checked out what Podhome has been doing on the hosting side? As a customer, yeah. It's been amazing to have access to so many tools and tags. Would love for them to make an appearance on the show. Bye.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, a few people I wanted to, my sort of guest booking strategy for
which has next been, year has been lagging.
Has been the strategy for the last month and a half has been no strategy.
Anybody. Just no, yeah, no book anybody. By the way, I love doing the boardroom, just the two of us. I mean, it's nice to have a guest on, but I, this is my end of week therapy, brother. I love this.
We needed a guest break.
We did.
Todd took his brain break and we needed a guest break.
Yes.
But my strategy coming up is we'll have some podcasters on, and then also for Barry at Podhome, I'm going to get him on. Yeah, we'll get back in the swing of things.
Yeah,
I don't like having guests on 2 weeks in a row. That's always been a rule.
No, that's no good. No good.
Yeah.
We
do. Are we thinking people? Or do we want to go into that?
Well, did you have anything else on the? Have we tackled all other things that we needed to talk about?
Not all the other things.
What else do you have on your list?
Well, I've got. I don't know if I want to get into that necessarily. Well,
tell me what it is that we're not going to get into, so I can remember it for next time.
It's aggregator stuff.
You've been wanting to rewrite it, haven't you?
Yeah, I have, but also sort of redo the structure of it. I've drawn out a way, I think, sort of mapped out a way that it can be decentralized. We can decentralize the aggregation. But it's a big topic. We don't have enough time to go into all that.
It's also not something we start just before the holidays.
No.
No projects just before the holidays. That's a bad idea. Yes.
That's like No Change Fridays. Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
But I guess the other thing is search improvements. This is tied to my normie habit of listening to the Gilmore Girls podcast. So this podcast is called I Am All In. So do you, first of all, as an avid Gilmore Girls fan, do you get this reference?
Yes. I have my own Gilmore Girls story in a moment.
Okay. I feel like I should be drinking a Grande Flat White from Starbucks right now while we're having this conversation.
Yes.
But the name of this podcast is I Am All In. So if you search for Gilmore Girls in the podcast index, you do not get this podcast back.
Oh.
Nothing about this podcast is findable, even though it is an official podcast, like for the show. It's,
well, that's odd.
Because it doesn't say Gilmore Girls anywhere in any of the indexable things.
So this is a search problem.
Search problem. So I was thinking we probably need to have some way to add in some extra metadata in the dashboard so that if somebody notices a problem like this, I really wanted to be able to go into the dashboard, find this podcast, and type in a few extra keywords, Gilmore Girls or whatever, so that the index can have some more data to work with.
Okay.
That's all.
You want my I'm going to give you my Gilmore Girl story.
Yeah, go for it.
This was our COVID lockdown binge.
Oh, it's a great binge for COVID.
Yes. And I was on the TV almost all day for no agenda, looking at every single, new statement, press conference, everything. I was just obsessed with figuring out what was going on. And, but then at night we'd watch the Gilmore Girls. And somewhere in August of 2020, there was a no agenda meetup in Las Vegas. It was the super spreader event. And by the way, no one was sick. No one got sick.
I remember this event. Yes.
And so we're there and there's this guy who had driven from LA and I'm talking to him and he says, yeah, I was an actor and I got out of the business. I was just sick and tired of it. And, I've been doing, been coaching people on some stuff. And I was like, and there's maybe 60, 65 people there. And I'm just talking to this guy and I'm like, said, hey, have I seen you in anything? He says, I don't know, it's been a while. I don't know, maybe not. I played Rory's dad on Gilmore Girls. I went, oh my God, you're Rory's dad. And I start fangirling. Tina, come over here. Look, this Rory's dad.
And it's Chris.
David Sutcliffe is his name. And he has a podcast. And he actually moved to Austin not long after that. So it was the weirdest thing. I had an actual moment that many people have done to me. I did it to him. Like,
yeah. What is his podcast? What is his name? Chris
David what? David Sutcliffe.
David
Sutcliffe.
Sut. I'm searching the index, see if I can find this.
Yeah.
The Psychosphere.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, that's him.
yeah, David Sutcliffe.
Oh, it's current too. He's doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Return of the Jew is the name of one of his episodes.
He's pretty cool, man.
Okay. I'll give it a shot.
He's not value for value though. We should get him on value for value.
He's not acting anymore. Now he's just he's in the podcast industrial complex.
He does sessions with multiple people, mainly women, I think. And they do weekends and retreats and they talk about their feelings And
he does. And my job is I do weekend retreats with women. That's his job.
I'm not saying it right. Like workshops, you know, for mental workshops and stuff. He's certified and stuff. He really got into that.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah. Oh, neat. I'll check it out.
Yeah. No, he's a cool dude. He's a cool dude.
No, that's all. Let's thank some people.
Yes. Okay. I had one more that came in, actually to Carolyn, 12,000 sats. Merry Christmas, Adam and Dave. Love to see video on Podverse. It's so cool. It is very cool. And Mike Newman, 17,910. Big ups for the whole crew, starting with musicians, for the innovation fueled by next week's concerts. The response to updating the podcast index features for apps has been really great. We point people to that. It needs to show the current capabilities much better now. Go podcasting. What does he mean, that the response to updating PI's features for apps? I'm not quite sure what he means by that.
Is that how quickly I deploy things to the website?
I think that's what he means.
I've been trying to be faster about that. What I had been doing in the past was waiting and sort of batching them all up to, and then pushing them out
all at once.
But people are adding stuff fast now, so I'm trying to be quicker about it. Like as soon as I see a couple of pull requests, I'm trying to push it immediately.
And right at the end here, right on the cusp, 45,678, 45678, Dreb Scott.
Nope.
Merry Christmas to Bruce Wade of Podcasting 2.0. Thank you, brother, with a nice little Christmas tree and present emoji. Thank you.
No, oh, thanks, Dreb. We got some PayPals. We got, speak of the devil, Todd and the boys at Blueberry and the girls at Blueberry, $300.
Whoa.
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
I'd just like to remind everybody that when we talk about the value for value model, this is what we do. We started this from zero over 3 years ago, and we said it has to be value for value. And you heard our numbers. We don't even make the cut for advertising.
Yeah,
we don't. But you know, we have a project that goes along with this, and so it's not just the podcast; it's the whole project, and people are supporting it. And this is the exact model, and it's a beautiful mix of fiat fund coupons, PayPal, and Satoshis and Boostagrams. The feedback loop is apparent. We are eating our own dog food here, people. It really does work. And it's not because some old ex-VJ had some kind of name for himself. Believe me. That's not it. In fact, a lot of people were like, what are these nut jobs doing? Oh, free speech, crypto, no. That's how it started.
Yeah. Leo, are you going to do 2.0? No.
Oh yeah, but
not doing that crap.
Now he's trying to do Twit. You know, the Twit Club with $7 a month. Man, open it up.
Let the lid off.
Yeah, take the lid off. Let people support you however they want to with whatever amount. That's your saving grace, brother. That's the way to go.
You know, I told the guys at ATP, take the lid off. And take the cap off your monthly membership. And they did.
Oh, and
now you can give them as much as you want. Oh,
excellent.
Yeah. Smart. And Twit needs to do the same thing. Take the cap off. It's nice. Artificial and it's weird.
It's weird. Like, no, don't send me more money. No, no.
Yes. Todd and the team at Blueberry. Yep. Merry Christmas from the Blueberry team. Dave, time to get busy on the namespace. Happy podcasting. Yes, time to get busy.
Yeah, we had the namespace hot talk today, Christmas version.
Yep. About to get busy.
Yep.
Okay, so we got another. Oh, this is from another one from Todd, $50 from Todd. New Media Productions. Hey, Adam and Dave, Todd here. Had my main podcasting 2.0 dev at a conference this week, and he will be back Monday to fix the value time split bugs we found in final testing. So fingers crossed on VTS for next week.
All right.
Nice. Thank you.
It's so good. It's good news.
Yes.
We love that.
Yes. Thank you, Todd and the team at Blueberry, and Lena also very active over there. Thank you to her. We got Oppie 1984, 4,000 sats from Fountain says, just a clarification. My blog post about sat based advertising did not involve paying listeners. It was just an idea for how advertisers could buy ad space on podcasts using SATs in a way that would give the hosts control over the ads on their content. Sorry for not making that clear in my previous message.
No, that's cool.
Yeah. No apologies required.
No.
Bad career advice, Chad. Satchel Richards, 1111 through Fountain.
Bad career advice. He says,
Podcasting 2.0 podcast poll. Is Spotify a centralized pile of music industry insider turd? Like for yes, reply for no. Okay. Another bad career advice, Chad. Another Satchel Richards through Fountain. He says, I think one of the challenges of adoption of the boosting ecosystem is the fact that people have to think about things in terms of wallets and transfers and Satoshis. It would be cool if River and Fountain could partner up to have automatic Bitcoin buys where it funds both a cold wallet and a Lightning wallet at the same time. That way people have some spending money, but are also putting sats away in their long-term piggy bank.
Yeah, there's problems. There's money changer, transmitter problems. It's more the legality of it all than the technical issues. I'm pretty sure that's what's going on there.
You know, the big player in this whole thing that is sort of missing from this altogether is Strike.
Yeah. Yeah.
Strike could do this. I feel like could do this quickly.
You know who I saw a channel show up? BTC Swan has a channel with the index.
Is that Swan Bitcoin
yeah.
exchange?
Oh. Yeah. So things are moving.
What they're planning.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, but there's plenty of opportunity. As you said, there's so much opportunity to offer services into these apps. The apps just have a little button. There's opportunity. And it'll come. It's all going to come. It's all going to come. They will.
SLC. 12345 sats through Fountain. It says, what are some reasons that a 2.0 app would prevent listening or downloading while on a VPN? This happened to me less than a year ago. I tried all VPN protocols and options, no dice. I even got confirmation from the 2.0 dev team that this was on their end, but said they wouldn't share why they were doing it for security. What
dev
2.0
team?
Dev team?
Is that you? Are you the 2.0?
I'm not a team. I don't know.
It all depends on your VPN. I mean, that's it. The VPN is going to determine what can come through or not.
I don't tell us what app it is. That way we could get.
Yeah, don't be so secretive.
I know there was an issue for a while with IPFS over VPN.
Yes,
that was the gateways were blocking them.
Yes. Well, IPFS. It's so funny. IPFS.io in general. You know, very often now I see a spam email come through, and I'll hover the link. I'm like, oh, okay, it's going to download something from IPFS.io. Yeah, no wonder those guys got killed off by a lot of spam bots or firewalls.
Speaking of blocking things, did you see where Threads started federating with the Fediverse and then immediately blocked Nostr?
No. Wait, but is Nostr on the Fediverse? What do you mean?
Yeah, they're on the Mostr bridge.
Oh, really? Like,
yeah, Threads. So Threads started federating and then immediately blocked the Nostr bridge. So there's no communication.
I have this weird observation because I've been studying social media for, of course, from the first day when Twitter launched as Twitter or a micro blogging platform instead of a podcast company. And 6 years ago, I started noagendasocial.com, the Mastodon site. I think it was about five, six years ago. Without like a proto person, like MySpace, arguably a social network.
Proto person? That's a great term.
Everybody had Tom as their friend. Remember? Do you remember that? The guy who started MySpace, his name was Tom. So when you started a MySpace account, you had Tom. That was your first friend.
Okay.
And with Facebag, Zuckerberg was kind of a big guy on there in the beginning. Of course, we had Ev Head and later Jack Dorsey with Twitter and now Elon Musk. And with Threads, Zuckerberg hasn't posted in a month. And I even see it on No Agenda. I've stopped posting on No Agenda Social because it's a crap pit.
You are the Tom of No Agenda Social.
Yes. And I think what happens is when there's no no singular, or it can be, it doesn't have to be one, but one or two persons of authority who you know has some power to kick you off, mm-hmm. I think people just lose all sense of decorum. And it just becomes it becomes crappy. And there's something about the proto person of a social network that has to be there. And, you know, and Jack was that for Nasser, but I feel that Jack has pulled back, which means he hasn't given anybody any more money. And I think it's that's, you know, there's no person, but, oh yeah. Oh, Jack, he follows me. He tagged me. Jack. And I think that it's somehow critical to survival of social networks.
Yeah. When there's no adult in the room.
Yeah. Yes, when there's no adult in the room. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
everybody goes feral.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And I think that Threads suffers from that. Now, it's not, Instagram is not true, and TikTok is not true. Those are outliers for some reason.
Well, they were feral already.
They started off feral.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Anyway, I'm just observation.
No, that feels very true. Let's see, 22 Big Row of Ducks from Dave Jackson.
Ooh, thank you, Dave.
Dear Castomatic, he says, a great episode that left me no choice but to boost and share. Right, you were forced.
Yes.
We grabbed you by the ears. 1776 through Fountain, he says, I still prefer chapters and boosts to be separate. I use the chapters tab in Fountain like a content index tab and the activity tab to check out boosts. Almost like the comments section with boosts and chapters, it gets cluttered. Anyhow, not complaining, and I guess that's up to apps, hey? Looking forward to Ainsley's concert.
Yes, and I keep publishing this same way through Spurlock's interface, and I know Podverse has implemented a switch, and mm-hmm. I'm not sure about other apps, but I'm really only doing it for people to integrate the switch. Because believe me, I get from time to time a really angry email about it.
Yeah,
and I keep saying, that should be an app thing because I'm publishing those mm-hmm. as those are TOC equals false, so they should not be in your index.
Gene Bean, 2222 through Castomatic, he says, Dave, I set up a first pass at monitoring and a public status page for the various podcast index sites,
yes.
and services at pi-status.technicalissues.us. Okay.
It's handy and snappy domain name.
Yeah, that just rolls off the tongue.
That's great, though. That, doesn't he have an alert system for you, too? Doesn't he get an email?
That is Archie.
Oh, Source okay. No, good. Yeah. So we have multiple. Excellent.
Which is perfect. Exactly what I wanted because we multiple from different parts, regions. That's exactly right. Anybody else wants to do monitoring? Please. I also emailed you some more details and a couple of related questions. Hope this helps. And Merry Christmas. Yes. Thank you, Gene Bean. I appreciate it.
Merry Christmas.
Very much. He has a, let's see, that's the same. Okay. Same message. Linkin Park Rules. Let's see. Have you guys checked out what? So we already got that one. Oh, I have no delimiter, so I'm all messed up. That's it on the boost. And we got some monthlies. We got Christopher Harabarek, $10.
Thank you, Chris.
Mitch Downey, $10. Huh. Chris Cowan, $5. Paul Saltzman, $22.22.
He's always
there.
Thank you,
Paul. Yep, every week. Derek J. Visker is also always there, $21. Yaron Rosenstein, $1. Damon Kasajak, $15. And Jeremy Gerds, $5. That's our group.
It's beautiful. Thank you all so much for supporting us. Value for value. I'm doing a quick check. Nope, still no tally coin. For all those people who said, I don't do lightning. I'll send you on chain. Go
only
to
Dreb.
Only Dreb, basically. Podcastindex.org. Down at the bottom, two red donate buttons. One is for your fiat fund coupons. It takes you to PayPal. Just as valid. We appreciate that. Of course, the aforementioned Tallycoin link is there. And what we really love is when you send it as a boostagram through a modern podcast app, which you can get at modernpodcastapps.com. And all of them now, I think everyone is now up to speed on the live streaming, live boosting, and I think most of the apps now also do wallet switching live.
Yeah.
I think
we're in good shape.
That is so cool. I love that because when I do Boostagram Ball, I'm always like, oh man, I don't want people boosting me, you know, from an app that doesn't do the value time split. You know, it's like, oh, this is a great song. Like, don't do that. And so now more and more, it's, although not everyone sends information through their TOV records that show up on Helipad. It would be great to close that loop.
Well, and also, Steven posted the Socket.io stats, or not stats, excuse me, spec for how to monitor that for live socket change, you know, changes. Yeah. So that's, I mean, we're in really good shape.
We are. And we'll have our big Christmas show next week. Is it next week already? Yeah. The 22nd.
Yep.
And we tried to get James Cridland, but he will be on holiday, I guess. Is that how we say it?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to move the show to night. We're having Boardroom After Dark next week at 8:00 PM Central Time. And since we already had the show moved in anticipation of that, we're like, well, let's get another Aussie. Because
why not? You
know, yeah, time zone. I mean, it's a perfect time.
Yeah, so they feel so left out as is. You know, they never get the product launches. They got their dollar is worthless. You know,
they have no guns.
They got no guns.
Yeah,
and they're in the middle of a heat wave. So we feel bad for the Aussies.
But you know who has big guns? Kyron.
Kyron's so he's going to be big, with us. Big guns. Very nice. Very nice.
Yep. So cool. Perfect timing to have Kyron on the show.
Yeah, that'll be good. Because he's been, that value for value show that he's been doing is so good. So I look forward to hearing how that's been going and what the responses have been. And he's really been helping a lot of people understand what we're doing. And in general, I was listening to, what's Office Hours? Is that part of the Jupiter Broadcast systems?
That's right. Chris Fisher and the gang.
I mean, those guys they're like all over value for value.
Oh yeah. They're, you know, that, I don't know if you caught it, but that whole show, that particular show, they have a bounty of 1 million sats. When they hit 1 million, they do another episode.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, interesting. Well, I sent them some sats and they had 2 wallet switches in there, which worked. And they had, and by the way, Moritz had time for them. Just saying.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I see where the priorities are.
All right, brother. Go play with your Stream Deck.
I will. I'm going to set it up.
Don't let anyone else touch your Stream Deck. It's your deck.
Hands off.
Hands off the deck. You going back to work, or you got the rest of the weekend early?
No, I'm going back. Going back to work. Okay. Yeah, I got stuff to do.
All right, board members there in the boardroom, thank you very much for joining us here for Podcasting 2.0. We look forward to our Christmas edition. We'll be back. Dave, have yourself a great weekend, brother.
You too, man.
All right, everybody. We'll see you Friday, 8 p.m. Central. See you then.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting! We are delivering more freedom to your computer.